My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Belt.
You ruined the morning show.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby. Ooh, somebody just got paid and reset the market in a big way. More on that in just a second. First, Below the Belt is brought to you by A Number One Air.
Yes, it is.
See what I bring a lot to the table, guys, including sponsorships.
Until Babe Laufenberg takes it away tomorrow at 8:40.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I'm going to say that that's just coincidental that Babe's segment starts tomorrow and the sponsorship came in. I don't think that's reflective of me or the quality of this segment at all. But yeah, that's probably actually got everything to do with it. Patrick Surtain, a former target of the Dallas Cowboys, who if he would have been there at pick number 10 a couple years ago, Patrick Surtain would have been a Dallas Cowboy. Patrick Surtain with the Denver Broncos, one of the worst teams in the NFL, has a new extension, 4 years, $96 million a year. $96 million total, not a year. That's $24 million a year. Total guaranteed is $77.5 million. So Patrick Surtain resets the market by $6 million in guaranteed money. And the average annual value is $3 million more than anybody in the secondary has gotten so far. Jair Alexander set the market a couple years ago. It had kind of stayed there. Diggs got a new deal. A couple other corners have gone since then. It hasn't moved. Surtain, this is a genuine reset. To go from 21 annually to 24, that's kind of pushing
things. This is the right guy to do it, though.
Yeah, he's best corner in the game, probably.
I would hate this so much if I was other teams.
That they did it?
Like going outside the market, like going that far away from the market.
Yeah, I would too, but you know, like I would hate it. I hate it less. I'm sorry. I would hate it more if it was not the best player at the position.
Yeah,
like this is a fair. Like if he's the best player at the position, then it's fair. Like you know, if somebody who's not the best at the position jumped it, then
because the corners not leapfrog like wideouts and quarterbacks,
they would leapfrog by a little bit. Throughout history, in recent years, it hasn't for some reason. It's kind of gone stagnant. So for this to be not only a jump, a new number, but this is a significant new number, that pushes up the market, which who comes open for a contract extension next year? Deron Bland becomes eligible for a contract extension. And at that point, the Cowboys probably have to make a decision. Do they want to pay Deron Bland and trade Trayvon Diggs, because I doubt they're going to sink top two money into both their corners. Or do they stick with Diggs and say either trade or let Deron Bland walk at the end of his contract? But I very seriously doubt that in 2-3 years we're looking at Bland and Diggs both being here, even if they're both top of the market.
And in case you missed it, at the very end of the Meet Church Matt Pittman segment, he dropped a little tease on us saying the Dak Prescott deal is closer versus being farther away. And he does a lot of cooking, a lot of events with Dak Prescott. So I would now double down and give Nick Eatman more credit and more credence when Eatman was on Friday saying he thinks he's going to guess the Dak deal gets done before the Browns game. I'm now going to sign up for that after what Matt Pittman just said.
I would, too.
Take it for what it's worth.
I would, too. It's not just throwing that one out there. That's not the way it is. So, yeah, look, that makes sense as the most obvious scenario that all parties would want to do, you would think. You would think they would want to get all the affairs in order before the season starts and not have to worry about that after. Not always the case that it works like that, but you would think that would be their primary preference.
Yeah, and I think that the fact that if Diana Russini's report is right, that it's just years that's got the difference, that would definitely feel like it's closer than we thought.
What did you make of that? Because we thought it should be opposite, with Russini saying that, you know, who wants shorter years versus longer years, that the team might want shorter years and Dak longer, when we're like, okay, just get back to the market a third time if you're Dak, unless you don't want to go through all this crap and drama.
Doesn't make any sense,
right?
From either perspective. Cowboys save money if they can get him on a longer deal because they can structure it. They can do all the cap gymnastics they need. Dak can get to the market sooner again, get paid again. We just saw Cousins get paid in his mid-30s coming off a big injury.
Yeah.
So,
Russini, I said yesterday on the show, has had a little rough offseason.
Yeah, I think she, honestly, what I'm going to guess is she just, it was not a written column. It was something she said in a podcast. I think she mixed her words up, potentially. Like, she may have just, in the course of talking about it, she may have just kind of offhand, like, ooh, I didn't realize I said the opposite of what it is.
That's a good theory, because why would she not have tweeted that or wrote about it? That would have blown up.
Yeah. And so, I don't know, maybe she'll write something on it and we'll see specifics. She's saying something similar, but that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I don't know why they would want that. All right, so the Cowboys are going to play week number one of the NFL season this Sunday against one of their historic rivals, the Cleveland Browns. And I think that that's something that probably sounds a little bit odd to a lot of people, especially younger fans.
This is Choppy's childhood team.
That's right.
Not the Jets.
Nope, the Browns.
No, the Jets were awful.
My dad was a huge Browns fan. He was he loved Jim Brown. So he became a Browns fan.
Yeah, because he's a guy.
Right.
That's why Jim Brown loved him.
Right, maybe. So he loved the Browns. So I mean, this whole, from Brian Sipe to Bernie Kosar, Bud Carson, what an awful coach he was. Marty Ball.
A lot of pain that you grew up around then with those 80s Browns teams. But it does seem odd at this point to look at it and say they've got like a deep history with each other. The Cowboys and Browns played each other 19 times in the first decade of the Cowboys' existence. There was no team they played more than the Browns in the first 10 years of the franchise's existence. Since that time, they've played 13 times in the 55 years since. So this will be game number 14 in the last 55 years after they went the first 10 years. Pretty much, a little bit after. And so it was one of those things where they were in the same division for a number of years. They met each other in the playoffs 3 years in a row. So there's actually like a lot of deep history there. And the first big pivotal moment in Cowboys-Browns history is going to be of special interest to RJ Choppy. When the Cowboys traveled to Cleveland on November 24th, 1963.
Oh, man.
Why is that pivotal?
1963.
Choppy. November 24th, 1963.
That was Jim Brown's last game.
No. This was
Leroy Kelly.
2 days after Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas. Duh. And the Cowboys, by all accounts, were trying. Cowboys were trying to kind of lobby, like, privately, like, please don't make us play football. Like, don't make us go on the road right after. So Cleveland was about as deep Kennedy support as you were going to find in the state of Ohio at the time. 10 counties in Ohio in 1960 voted for JFK. He won Cuyahoga County by over 140,000 votes. He won the other 9 counties in Ohio by a combined 64,000 votes.
Oh, wow.
Which means this was as...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Kennedy supporting as you can get outside of the state of Massachusetts. And the Cowboys traveled out there, and History.com actually wrote about this a couple of years ago about their trip to Cleveland and how when they pulled up to the stadium, they had to carry their, or when they pulled up to the hotel, they had to carry their own bags, and the bellhops turned their backs to the Cowboys players.
Yeah, what kind of loser do you have to be to blame, to even remotely place any blame or anger towards people who had a football player who had nothing to do with that? What kind of absolute loser do you have to be?
It was something that was held like against the city at the time. Pettis Norman, who was the Cowboys tight end, said they took the field that day and they were hearing all day from what was not a capacity crowd. This game was played at the same time as the JFK funeral was going on in DC. And they took the field, and Pettis Norman said the entire game they were hearing nothing but murderers, killers, you killed the president.
Oh, my.
Just aggressive. And
hell, what's the matter with people?
Eddie LeBaron, the Cowboys' backup quarterback, had told everybody, he was a veteran, he told everybody, he's like, do not take your helmets off today. He's like, don't take them off. Don't let them see your face. Don't take that protection off your head, because as soon as that comes off, somebody is throwing a beer bottle at your head. Like, somebody's coming for you. And it was just a hostile, and that was the rest of the season. Gil Brandt talked about it years later, but that first game in Cleveland was about as bad of a road trip, like city, they could have taken in the wake of that as possible. Another game that was pretty significant, December 24th, 1967, Christmas Eve. This was Dallas just destroying Cleveland in the playoffs, 52-14. Why is this significant? Well, because at the time, Cleveland and Green Bay were kind of competing as the team of the last 15 years or so. They both had four titles at the time, and this would have been an opportunity for the Browns to go on and play the Packers in what became the Ice Bowl. Cleveland, like years later, a lot of the players talked about how if we would have gone up to there, we're built to play in that weather. We were prepared. We'd been doing it all year. We would have been able to handle Green Bay, and Cleveland would have potentially been able to get to the Super Bowl, win another title, and the team of the decade, the team of the 50s and 60s, could look wildly different. It could look more like Cleveland is who we're talking about, and Cleveland would have had potentially their first Super Bowl after that. So a lot of players were held this beat down at the hands of the Cowboys really personally from Cleveland. December 10th, 1994, this is Bill Belichick and Nick Saban coming to town the Cleveland Browns, and this
Antonio Langham.
This completely changed the trajectory of the 94 playoffs, because Dallas loses this game 19-14. They're down 16-14 with 3 minutes left. Aikman fumbles a snap on fourth and one. Cleveland collects it, kicks a field goal. When Kevin Williams returns the kick to midfield, they hit Alvin Harper. Last play of the game, they throw it to Jay Novacek, and he slips on the turf right in front of the goal line and gets a touchdown, and they lose. And if they win this game, they're likely in the driver's seat to get home field advantage throughout the playoffs. They lose it on this game, and that's when San Francisco took hold of it. That was the 94 NFC Championship game in San Francisco that a lot of people felt like whoever was going to be at home for that game was going to win it and was going to have that advantage. And so Cleveland, Saban, Belichick coming in here, a lot of good luck down the stretch, kind of shifted the trajectory of what the Cowboys dynasty could have been. We would have been looking potentially at three in a row if that's a little different.
That was and Bernie was already here, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He had already been cut by Bill like that earlier that season. Or the season before, I guess. And that was he was already here.
Yep. One more. November 6th, 2016. This is the game that ended Tony Romo's career in Dallas. It was actually the week before Dak had struggled for much of the primetime game against the Eagles. He has a great fourth quarter, sends it into overtime, you know, has like magician moments in overtime. They win the game. And Jerry was really impressed, talked about after the game how he rallied and how he battled. Well, this following week, Dak played the best game of his career at that point. He went 21-27, 247, three touchdowns, no picks. His passer rating was 141.8, best of his career at that point. About 10 days later is when Tony actually stood up at the podium and said, Dak has earned the right to be our quarterback, but Fun fact that maybe a lot of people don't know. This is the after this game is when they made the decision internally that it was going to stay with Dak. And so got a lot of history here. The JFK game, Belichick and Saban changing the course of the 90s Cowboys, and then Dak Prescott solidifying the job.
Below the belt with a little history lesson to get you ready for Sunday on your home of America's team. We have a rookie walk-off grand slam and a perfect game coming to your home of the Rangers. We'll explain. Final Hour Hump Day Edition is next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.